covered your prayers this morning. I can't say I seem like this morning, I'll be honest with you, I thought I would still be at home. I got up very tempted this morning to stay home and rest and wasn't feeling good, but the Lord brought a go forward song, and as I got up and started going, I started feeling better. So I thank the Lord for that, and I truly covered your prayers this morning. Those of you that know the work of prayer, I'll admit I feel very unprepared for this. I've got a few scribbled scriptures and a lot of thoughts in my mind, but I feel like the Lord has been burning this on me, so you pray for me. I'm not good about where scriptures are, and for a camp meeting that makes me feel a little uncomfortable, but I hope I can look at this at home, folks. If I need your help to look up a scripture, I'll depend on you. But if the Lord brings it to my mind. But this morning I'd like to talk to you a little bit about a friend. The song that has come to my mind so strong is, "There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." And another one is, "There is a friend. His name is Jesus." You know, we have a friend, dear ones, no matter what in life. And this morning I would like to start off talking a little bit to the children, to the young people, and to all of us. The Word said, "For God so loved the world." He so loved you. Young people, get a hold of this. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved you. You know, I think probably everyone in this building, I mean, I don't know everybody's past. Either you've gotten a hold of God, or if you've had the privilege to be raised in a Christian home, if you've had the privilege to come out amongst the people of God and hear God and see God, you have had something wonderful.
Yes, you have.
Don't ever forget that for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. You may feel the devil is out there to pull and to tug, and the pressures can be great to try to get us to feel like there's something out there better. There's something out there more. There's something that is more exciting, something better. But I'm going to tell you, if you turn from the love of God, if you turn from His dealings, if you turn from His ways, and you go out there, the time will come where you're going to find yourself in trouble and in trouble. And yet, many times the devil's always out there with something else, a carrot, to make it think, this is what I need, and that's what I need. But I want you to remember, God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. He was willing, Jesus was willing to come and to die on the cross. He was willing to suffer the shame and reproach of the cross. It was reproachful to Him. Can you imagine? He came from the splendor of heaven, and He came here. You know, there are troubles in life. Job said, what did he say? Something about a man is full of trouble or something like that. Life is full of troubles. There's joys, but there's troubles that go with it. He came and was willing to walk this earth. He was willing to take on flesh and to feel the pain, to feel the suffering, to feel the rejection, to feel the hurt. He was willing to be slapped for your sake. He was willing to die on the cross for you. He wants you to remember, if you go out there and you run into trouble, don't forget that verse and the reality behind it. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that you might have life, that you can have that life abundant, that the Lord can give you and be your friend. You know, there is a friend. His name is Jesus. Everyone wants a friend. We all need friends. You know, people are going to search out and seek for friends wherever. And you know what? Your idea of a friend and my idea of a friend may vary. But I'm going to tell you something. This friend is a friend like no other friend. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. The Lord, in Romans, it tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's another scripture that said that something about how that, for a friend, a man would die. That there is no greater love than a man should die for his friend. You know, we've heard in this meeting stuff about how that people that were in trouble, they gave their life for someone else. You know, this is my hero. That's my hero. And many will die for a friend. Many will die for the helpless. Many will die for those around us. But do you know what? Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. When we were unlovable. When we were crucifying Him afresh. When we were willing to go through life and not live for God, He died for us. Do you know what? It's easy to die for the help. I say it's easy. It takes something in a person to do that, and I thank the Lord for that. It takes something to die for someone else or be willing to sacrifice for someone else. But I'm going to tell you what, when you feel that someone is being completely unlovable to you, that is someone, you know what, that is not something we can do in our own selves. That is something that Christ did for us. He can help us to do the same thing, but Christ did that for us. While we were yet sinners and unlovable, He died for us. He looked beyond our fault and saw our need. He looked beyond, you know, we buck at other people's faults. We buck in the yoke, and what's happening may cause us trouble. But when we can get to the place where we look beyond the fault and see the need, it can help us to see some of God's love. It can help us to see what God did for us. And He looked beyond our fault and saw our need. And that friend that was willing to go through that for us, do you know what? It didn't stop there. That friendship didn't stop there, and it doesn't stop there. Thank the Lord. I think, let's think a little bit even about those that have turned God away and are going far away from God. There's a scripture that says something about the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. Do you know, over and over, you see the mercy of God.
Yes, that's right.
The mercy of God. Amen. Over and over, you see the great mercy of God to people. So many times, I was thinking recently, some of these tornadoes going through, and I was talking to someone, and I said, you know, this is a little bit unusual. So many times when tornadoes come through, and rarely a life would be lost. So many times that's happened. This time, the tornadoes came through, there were many lost. You know, is that something, as you look on that, the goodness and the severity of God? Do you know that's where we have to be careful? When we look to someone to be our friend, we can have ideas of what a friend is and not be able to see the depths of what true friendship is. You know, there's a scripture that tells us that a friend loveth at all times. You know, I've heard people and stuff that come up and someone is suffering and going through a lot of trouble. And you can almost hear the feeling, if, you know, I don't understand. If that was my child, I'd do something about that. I would touch them. You know, as parents, we love our children very much. But in that love is the temptation to protect them too much sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The love of God is greater far than that. Our temptation to protect our children, to not let him suffer, to not let him go through things. The goodness of God, many times, is there. And it and yet, you see people ride over it, and go on, and you wonder, Lord, what about that? But then sometimes you see the severity of God. You see the severity of God. And then what happens? People start getting bitter. Lord, why did you let this happen? I don't understand. People many times will take advantage of the goodness of God. I've seen this. where the Lord would come in and bless them, and they take that as an unction on their life that everything's okay, everything's all right, and really God wanted them to dig a little deeper by love and get a hold of more of Him, but everything's okay, God did this for me, and oh, I'm wonderful, and they go right on in life, not really looking internally and seeing and asking God to show them. And maybe by the help of the Lord, we'll get into this a little more. People want God to be their friend. But it's a different story when God asks them to be His friend. But I think of how, in the goodness of God, you see it overridden and taken advantage of. In the severity of God, many times, people will look at it and almost turn from God of, Lord, why didn't you do this?
Yes.
Why? Lord, help us to have a greater vision of what true love is. Of what a real friend will do. There is another scripture that says something about, and you bear with me if I don't go to all of these, and I can't even read my own scribble scratch very well, but something about that the wounds of a friend. If I could find that, I'd like to go to that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I want to read to you, thank you, if I can find it, what it said about faithful. It says properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse, to render firm or faithful, to trust or believe, the true or certain. Do you know the faithful are the wounds of a friend? Do you know many times, I also think of the scripture that says something about chastisement and how the Lord will chastise those whom He loves.
Yes.
And He will chastise them. If someone could find that scripture, there's something there I'd like to have read. But the Lord will chastise those He loves. And we can relate to that. We can relate that sometimes our children need some chastisement. Sometimes we need chastisement. We can relate to some of that. But I think of the suffering that is there and how many times people will turn from God. You know, one time I went through an experience and someone was in trouble and I was on my face about all day long begging the Lord, Lord, if this happens, it's going to discourage the young people. Lord, please, don't let this happen. And the Lord started speaking to me so strong. And He said, Karen, don't defend me where I'm not defending myself. He said, if a person wants to be able to find something, and in my mind I was thinking, Lord, there's these certain people they're going to feel like that see here this happened and that gives more proof that what I've done is okay and it's all right. And He said, Karen, there are people that if they want to find something, there will be there something for them to find. But those that are sincere and those that are true, they will get a hold of something for me. He said, don't defend me. I've got a purpose in this and I've got a plan in this. And I thought, Lord, help us. Many times in our own reasoning, in our own understanding, we think it's supposed to go a certain way. And it's supposed to, that if it doesn't go its way, it's going to cause so much damage. Oh, you know what? Jesus is one that made no reputation of Himself.
That's right.
He did not make any reputation of Himself.
That's
His sole desire is the souls of mankind. He's willing to let His reputation look like it's been tarnished.
Yes.
If He can get a hold of a soul,
Amen.
He's willing to do that. He's willing, and if we're not careful, we can get in there so strong and such. Lord, help us to back up and say, Lord, go ahead and do what you need to do. Let your will be done. Let work your purpose. And let us look beyond these young people. Things could come along and you could understand why did this happen and why did God let that happen. Many times there's far more behind it than you know anything about. God knows what He's doing. Don't just look at the surface. Don't just look at what's going on and let it discourage you. Get down and get a hold of God. That's why many times in time of trouble, those that are not involved in troubles are encouraged to just Don't try to deal with it. You just get close to God yourself. You just get close to God. And keep, that's why it's like that. Because you don't know the details behind some things. You don't know what's going on. And if you're not careful, the enemy will work on the surface things and try to get you discouraged. But if you go forward in the Lord will lead you and He'll direct you. And you'll go on in life and you may be able to look back and say, ah, I didn't know anything about some of this. I didn't know anything about all of this. But God knew, and God was working, and you'll be able to understand a little bit more about the workings of the Lord. Did someone find that scripture about chastising? Especially I wanted the verse that says something about how we respond to His chastisement.
Starts with 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourges every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?
Just a little bit before you go on. He dealeth with us as sons. You know, as children, many times we can look on, have you ever heard a child come back at their parent and say, you're hurting me? Or say something about, you know, that's mean. Or, now children can manipulate their parents. And we don't want to be hurting our children needlessly or being mean. And we have to listen sometimes about some things. But, you know, I think of how a child may not always understand what is behind it. And we do need to stop. I've seen many times parents say, now, do you understand this? And they would try to work with them. But I think of how as children, we just don't always understand it. That a father and a mother looking on and they see something and they're working on what they see. And they're trying to get us. That you don't know. The child doesn't know what's being worked on entirely. Maybe there's personality traits. Things there that the parent's trying to work with and sees this is going to be dangerous to you down the line and I'm trying to nip it in the bud. And the parent starts working with it. Do you know God sees far more than the parents see? He knows far more than we can see. Oh, dear ones, God looks beyond and sees the depths of our hearts and He sees the motives and He knows exactly what's inside. And He sees what we cannot see. And as a son, He will deal with us. If we'll endure that, if we'll endure His chastening, if we'll endure what He allows, do you know, dear ones, He said that He would treat us as sons. Do you know a friend loveth at all times and truly a father, a true father, loveth at all times. Even when your children are acting ugly, even when a child grows up and goes out into the world and maybe they're going in ways and you can't really like the person they've become, but you love that person. You love them anyway. Do you know a friend loveth at all times? Even when you're good, when you're bad, there is still a deep love that is there. But dear ones, the wound of a friend is faithful. It's there to build up and support. Now, what do you think building up and support means? If you think building up and support means that you just always make me feel good about myself and you build me up and you're always right in there behind me, you know what? The Lord's building up of us is so much stronger. He wants us to be built up. He wants us to be steady. And if we will have patience, what does it say? Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. That the Lord is trying to build us up many times through what? Through our trials, through our tests. Through the problems He lets come in our lives, the Lord is building us up. Now, if all we think of is building up, is the Lord just going to come along and say, oh, you know, I love you, and you know, I'm your friend, and whatever you think, hey, I agree with you, I go along with that, and I just, you know what, dear ones, a true friend, the wounds of a friend are faithful. And I think of the chastisement, and there was another scripture I haven't read I'd like to get.
For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
The scripture, I think, is up farther than that I wanted. Okay.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked with him.
Despise not the chastening of the Lord. You know, dear ones, there is a friend, and his name is Jesus. He will be a faithful friend to us. He will be good in the goodness and severity of God. The whole purpose, the whole plan, it's for our good.
Amen.
You know, we as parents can look on and think something's for our good, and we can't see the wholeness that God does. That God knows what we really need. He knows what is really out there, and it's for our good. The goodness and severity of God both is for our good. His chastisement, His allowing of the trials and the tests to build us up, to root us and to ground us, it's for our good. We need to remember that we have a friend that loves us enough that He's going to be there to prepare us. We have a friend that doesn't only see what's happening today. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yes.
He knows what's ahead. He knows, and He is going to prepare us for what is ahead. Oh, I'm amazed at the preparation of the Lord.
Amen.
But I want to get back to this verse. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Oh, you know what? Sometimes when parents chasten, children can get so angry and despise that. You know, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And what was the rest of that? Nor faint when thou art rebuked. Now I'm going to tell you something. When there's a lot of rebellion, you're going to find a lot of the despising. You're going to find a lot of the despising of the correction when there's a lot of rebellion. And whenever the Lord comes along, how do we tend to take correction in life? Do we resist it? Rebel against it? Do we kind of have a... We just don't want anybody touching that part of our lives. Don't try to control anything in me. Anything looks like control, and don't try to do that. Do we despise chastening? Do you know, if we do, and that's the way we treat life, we'll tend to treat the Lord the same way. That when the Lord comes along, He may not even be able to touch some things in our life because He knows what we're going to do and how we react. He may let us go there and react it. But do not despise the chastening of the Lord. But be in a place to be able to listen, a dear child, to listen. Now, parents in life sometimes can correct in a wrong way. And it can cause the despising. It can cause a despicableness to maybe the way a parent can come over in a way and do it in such a way. That's why the Word tells us about fathers not, how does that go? To provoke not your children to wrath. If you've been used to that in life, you're going to buck at correction. You're going to buck at any correction anywhere. I want to tell you a friend that doesn't correct that way. But you're going to have to be willing to lay down your guard and trust Him. You're going to have to be willing to lay down your guard and trust this friend. I think of the place where it says, faint not. You know, there are people and there are children sometimes in life. The way we have been corrected does affect us in how we take correction. But don't faint. There are some that whenever they're corrected, it's just like they almost give up. I'm no good. There's not any use in trying. Everything about me is bad. And so I just faint at any correction. And I just,
yes.
Do you know, dear ones, this is a friend that He loveth at all times. The goodness and severity of God is for our good. He is a friend. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Amen.
He will be a friend in our time of need. You know, the Lord gave me that song. And I'm going to tell you, lived for God for many years, but I never got a hold of how much God was my friend until that time. Oh, I knew He was, and I thank the Lord He was my friend. But I know you've probably all heard about the accident we had at Clinton Katrina's that time, and we got in the accident, and I got out of that vehicle, and I think I must have been in shock or something. It was just the worst nightmare that you could think of. An accident in somebody else's vehicle, somebody else's children, your grandchildren. It just, Katrina at home, needing us, it just seemed like about the worst thing that could happen. And after I got home, I went with one of the children to the hospital. Didn't get to talk to the policeman. And after I got home, I was worrying. There was things that just made me sick about the accident. And I just have to confess, I'm the type of person, the very thought of going and talking to that policeman about it, I just cringed inside so bad I couldn't. I don't like to face things like that. And I just didn't want to do it at all, and I dreaded it so bad. And the Lord brought this song to me. It was so precious. There is not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. I mean, He started talking to my heart and letting me know, Karen, I am your friend. Just trust me. I am your friend. I think of the pictures of the accident. They saw how that the gas tank had hit right there. Right by the gas tank, pretty much. All around it was bent up, and the gas tank was smooth. And I think of how the Lord just started talking to me and showing me some of these things. He said, Karen, I am your friend. Karen, I will be, talking about, it came to me about the friend in high places, how it's good to have a friend in high places sometimes. He says, I will be your friend in high places. I will go before you. I will be that friend in high places for you. He said, Karen, I am your friend. He brought the scripture to me over, and we'll go to that in a little bit in Isaiah. He said, I'll give men for you. He says, I am your friend. I mean, I got it. It was so precious. It was so wonderful and so real. Well, you know what? He kept telling me, just trust me, Karen. Just trust me. I took care of you. I took care of what happened. And you know what? I didn't even have to talk to the policeman. I didn't have to talk to him. He wasn't, the main one that was there wasn't even there when I got there. I dreaded that so bad. And I didn't have to talk to him. The Lord just took care of it. I'm the type of person, I just don't like to deal with those kind of problems. And you know, I dreaded talking to the insurance man. It just like is a dread there. And the Lord just went through and smoothed it all. And through it all, He made it so plain to me. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. That He would be there for us. He will be for us in the times of need. I'd like to go over to Isaiah and read that scripture. Isaiah 43. Now, talking about a friend to the friendless, to those that don't love back. But I'm going to tell you, there is something about God respects mankind, and He respects His will. He respects it so much, I've been amazed at it at times when the Lord has dealt with me about that. God won't override a man's will. And He has great respect. And you know, He'll let you go on in life. He'll let you do what you want to do, so to a certain extent. He may let you go through some things. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord has always, from the beginning, not only wanted to be our friend, He wanted us to be His friend. He wants somebody that will be His friend. We go to Isaiah 43, verse. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Oh, dear ones, when we are the Lord's, He's a friend to all mankind. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you what. When we are His friend, and we are His, there is not a friend like the Lord Jesus. Amen. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Now I looked that up, and I tried to see a little bit what that was about. And they brought out a place where, and I'll just try to say it in my own way, but where they'd come against the people of God, and then something else happened, and it was diverted to over Egypt and Sabaea and all. And in other words, the Lord kind of turned the battle because of something else away from the people of God, and it went somewhere else. And he said, I've given them for you. They became a ransom for the people of God. I'm going to tell you what, dear ones. The Lord is our friend. And when we are His, truly, and we're His friend also, the Lord, I don't know how to explain this, dear ones, but the Lord, can we look back? There's no way. If the Lord would open our eyes to see what was behind us and see the preparation of God and see how He worked in our lives and led us to the point we are today. Do you know the preparation of God is amazing? In one place He said something about, He was telling His disciples, He said, He was warning them of what was going to happen and what was going to come in the head, that I think it was at the time that He was telling them that they, maybe their friends, their family and all would turn from them and they would be persecuted for His sake. And He says, now I'm warning you about this ahead of time, that you will not be offended at Me. The preparation of the Lord is wonderful, dear ones. We have a friend. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the way. He will be with us. He hears our heart's faintest cry. You know, it's wonderful you call up a friend, and you need to cry on somebody's shoulder, and you need to... But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like Jesus being our friend. There's nothing like when He can hear even our heart's faint whisper, and He comes down, and He brings a song, and He whispers something back to us. Oh, over and over in life, how wonderful it's been when the Lord would come along and He'd bring a song and He'd lift us up and He would help us along, or He'd come in and He'd speak to us something to us and completely the problem rolled away. Oh, the circumstance wasn't over, but what happened inside us was completely different. Yeah, absolutely different. I think of the time, oh, it's been in the last 2 years, something had come up, and I mean, for a little while the devil tempted me so strong. I wasn't wanting to give the Lord up. But I wanted to give in to a circumstance so strong I couldn't hardly stand it. It didn't last very long, but it was the strongest I believe I'd ever felt. And I just felt like I was trapped. I didn't feel like there was anywhere I could go. And the Lord spoke to me so plain. He says, Karen, the devil is trying to destroy you through this person. The devil is trying to destroy all you. And I thought, I was bucking in the yoke with the person. And the Lord said, the devil is trying to destroy you. Yes. He brought it down and said, it's the devil. He's trying to destroy you. And you know what? It just came to me so strong, but I don't have to by the grace of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it disappeared. There was such joy, such courage to get up and go on in life. The Lord will do that for us. He's a friend. A friend can help us. But when we go away, it can all come back again. But you know what? When God comes along and He speaks to us and He gives us something, oh, talk about, dear ones, the problems can still be there. But God is a friend that will be there in all of our troubles, in all of our tests, in all of our trials. He will walk with us. He will talk with us. He is a friend that is closer. Let's take it closer than a brother. You know, a brother is born for a time of adversity. When trouble is coming, there's something about it. Even if there's trouble in a family, many times siblings will get in there and really back up somebody in time of adversity. But this friend, and it's wonderful to have friends, and you can have friends that sticks closer than a brother, that's there, that loveth at all times, it's a true friend. But there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. He can be there when no one else can. He will be there. Excuse me. He will be there. when no one else can. He will be there. He will come in. He can come in and take away the things. I remember a time many years ago when I had something sweep over me so strong, it was bitterness. I didn't even know a saint could feel so bitter. It shocked me. I just didn't know what to do. It just swept over me so strong. And I sit there laying and I just, Lord, please help me with this. I can't have this. Will you help me with this, Lord? Will you please take this from me? But you know what? I didn't feel like praying and I didn't want to pray. But I knew I had to pray because I couldn't keep that. And so I kept praying and I kept praying and I kept praying. And a part of me had to say, Lord, I know there's a part of me that doesn't want to turn loose. But there's a part of me deeper inside, Lord, that really wants your way most. Now, will you please take that part of me that doesn't want to? And I just kept on praying and praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord came down. He flooded me with such a joy, with such a love, with such a peace that all there was, I saw the whole situation completely different. I was just so wonderful what the Lord did. It completely dissolved. Well, you know, later I realized, when I got to the place where I really meant it, God stepped in. The Lord, we have to truly mean it. I didn't realize myself what all was going on, but I had to pray past that part of me that didn't want to turn loose. And you know, the Lord is that friend that will be there no matter what. He lifts us up. But you know what? He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. He didn't say those things wouldn't come. He didn't say, I'm going to be a friend that's going to protect you and these things aren't going to ever happen. You're just going to have happiness all your life. And you're not. He didn't say those things weren't going to happen, dear one. He said, when it does, it's not going to overflow you. I'll be there with you. I'll be there. I'll walk through the fire with you. I'll be like the Hebrew children and I'll be in the midst of the fire. Oh, dear ones, to have a friend that can do that. And not only can he, has. He's proved it over and over. He will be with us. He will stand by us. But oh, dear ones, the Lord, the preparation. Let's not get caught up in what our idea of what a friend is. And what our idea of what love is. And it calls us to turn from God, to be offended at him. He warned them ahead of time. I'm telling you, these things are going to happen because I don't want you to be offended at me. Do you know, dear ones, let's be careful because when you're hurt, when you're wounded, it's only natural the feeling sometimes of just, Lord, I don't understand. What did Job go through? Oh, Lord, you know, why are you letting this go on? And why are you letting this happen, Lord? Sometimes the feelings that are there are strong and they're powerful and there's bucking in the yoke. But do you know what, dear ones? The Lord, knowing, he said in one place that Job did not charge God foolishly. Well, I've read Job. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it seemed like he was charging God, you know. But now God said he didn't charge him foolishly. You know what? In his heart of hearts, Job really never truly charged God foolishly to where, God, it's your fault, and turn away from God. He came to the feelings of, Lord, I just don't understand. Lord, I just let me die. He went through so many of these kind of things. But in his heart, he kept holding on. Do you know, dear one, God knoweth our frame that it is dust. He loves us, everyone, and he cares about us. He loves us at all times. He loves us when we're bucking in the yoke. And he loves us enough to get in there and say, okay. You know, sometimes we think, oh, Lord, I just messed up so bad. And sometimes people want to faint. I've messed up so bad. God's not going to love me anymore. Don't faint at his chastisement. Don't faint when he says, oh, thou of little faith. Don't faint at that. Don't turn away. But say, oh, he is a friend that loves us at all times. He cares about us. He wants to help us. He will be there to lift us up if we'll allow him. But if we get all caught up in fainting at his chastisement, we can't get it. If we get all caught up at bucking at the yoke that this isn't fair and this isn't right, and we listen to that too much, dear ones, then we're going to get in trouble. But if we'll just turn to him and say, oh, Lord, I know I've been in times. This is a friend. You can tell him whatever you think. I've come to the Lord and said, Lord, I know I'm just kind of pouting right now. I know I'm having trouble. This is bothering me, and I don't understand this. And I know this isn't really right, Lord, but will you help me with it, Lord? Please help me. I know I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling whatever I'm feeling. You can tell this friend the depths of your heart. Oh, Lord, I know this. You know what? I remember a time. The camp meeting was going on. Boy, doesn't the devil fight in the middle of the camp meeting sometimes. And a camp meeting was going on, and something had come up. And I'm going to tell you what, I found myself kind of fainting a little bit. Seemed like something had come up, and I was beating myself up that, oh, Lord, what is wrong? I don't understand. It seemed like everything I've done is wrong. Everything, Lord, and the more I thought about it, the worse anything I ever done, I didn't do anything right. And I was just feeling like, oh, Lord. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand, Lord. Why can this go this way? And I can't go into all of it. But I was just, Lord, I just don't understand. And I need something from you. And I was trying to get ready for church. And Lord, I just need you to help me. And I finally come to a place, Lord, I don't understand it. And I don't know. But Lord, please help me just turn this over to you. I need some answers. And I need something from you. And I don't know, Lord, but just help me with this somehow, some way. Help me to just quit bucking at this and just give it to you. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought a song to me. And He just lifted me up and helped me. And I went to church, and the Lord sent a message to help me have some answers. Do you know, dear one, this is a friend that loveth at all times. He's going to help us in our weaknesses. He'll help us when the times come that we need Him. And He's going to be there to prepare us for the things that are ahead. There's a scripture, I believe, in James I would like to go to now. James, the second chapter. And I'm not sure how much of this to read. Just see. Start at the 17th verse. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. He wants more than we just believe that God is. He wants more. He wants us to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He don't want us to just stop believing that He is. He wants us to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It says, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When the Lord told me that I am your friend, He also gave me this scripture. I am your friend. But you know what? He wants me to be His friend. He, different places, Abraham is called the friend of God. In one place it tells us, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. It's one thing that could Jesus, the friend of all mankind, but when He chooses us to be His friend, and there is a friendship going on that is working back and forth.
Yes, amen.
When that friendship is going on, there's a special relationship there. The Lord is a friend to all mankind. But when He chooses us to be His friend, and we are His friend, not only is He a friend to us, but we are His friend. You know, dear ones, God wants us to be His friend. Do you know what happened when Abraham took Isaac up there and he was going to offer him? And God said, this is your seed. This is the seed I'm going to raise up. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. Not only that, that was a paganistic way of doing things. If God tells us something today and it's like, but Lord, that's not the way you work. You know, if we're not careful, we'll almost tell Him that. Lord, that's just not the way you work. You know what? I've had the Lord have to break me out of boxes down through my life. We can put him in boxes. That God works like this, then he works like that, and he works like this. And I, you know, maybe you haven't had that as much as I have, but I've had to have the Lord break me out of my boxes of what I thought God would do and how he would do it. Do you know what? This was paganistic, the way the pagans did. They sacrificed their children to God. And not only that, this was his promise. Lord, you promised me through him, and now you're telling me to go up here. But Abraham believed in God. He believed that God would provide a sacrifice. He believed that God would even raise him from the dead. God told me this, and he'll do it. He may have to raise him from the dead to do it, but he's going to do what he told me he'd do. Oh, dear ones, do you know what? This was what caused God to call him his friend. Lord, help us to be God's friends. To be willing. Be willing. He wants friends, dear ones. He doesn't want to just be a friend. He wants friends.
Yes.
Friends that he can trust. Friends that he can say, I want you. He told Abraham to go into a place that he didn't know where he's going. And Abraham got up and went. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us to be God's friend. You know, I think about Peter. We hear a lot about Peter. We brought out in the last meeting, we hear an awful lot more about Peter than most of them. Well, let me tell you something. My brother Curtis brought something out in Junction City recently that made me think. He's talking about the time when Peter was on the water. And he said, Lord, if you tell me to come to you. And we can look at me, that's foolish. Why'd you do that, Peter? That's spontaneous. But he said, you know what? That proved the great faith he really had in God, in Jesus. That if it's you and you tell me that I will do it and I believe it's going to work. Well, Peter had a deep faith and trust in God, in Jesus. And Jesus knew that. And even when it came to the time, and he told him, you're going to deny me. He said, but when you are converted, comfort the brethren. He had a trust in Peter. He knew what was in his heart. He knew what was there. You know, Peter had a faith in Jesus. But you know what? Peter had to learn that it wasn't his own strength. He had to learn. You know, sometimes we can think, Lord, I believe in you and I'll just do whatever you want me to do. But sometimes the Lord lets us get to a place to realize, I know what's in your heart, but you're going to have to learn the sufficiency of God. You're going to have to learn the dependency that it cannot be anything of yourself. It's got to be God. Peter had to go through different things and he come to the place he had to learn he couldn't do it in his own strength. He knew God could do it. He had to be careful that it was in his strength alone. He had to go forth in God's strength. And you know, I think of how that the Lord wants people that are willing. And when he says, do, okay, Lord, I'll do it. It may seem foolish. You know, sometimes, oh, Lord, help our human reasoning. You ever heard, why are they going over there to this foreign country? They got children at home, and it's dangerous. They shouldn't be going to that foreign country. They could die. That just doesn't make sense. God doesn't ask something of us. It's not reasonable. Lord, help our human reasoning. God wants friends that he can say, I want you to be willing to walk this path. And it doesn't make sense. I want you to be willing to go this way. And it doesn't make sense. Say, yes, Lord. And you're going to have friends. You're going to have comforters like Job. Oh, it's because of this and it's because of that and it's whatever. But the Lord's saying, I want a friend. A friend that can do my work. To get down and do the dirty work. To be willing to go forward even if I do die. Even if I do suffer. Even if I do. And oh, dear ones, Lord, help us. We can say today, oh, Lord, I want to do that. And you know what? God sees our heart. He may let us go through some things and fall for some. get us to the place to where we know very plainly, Lord, I want to do it. But my dependency is completely and fully upon you.
Amen.
And then God can use. And God can work. Oh, you look on and you see people. And you see those that are going through trials and tests. And recently I've thought about some of those things of what God's allowing amongst His people. Lord, some that have been sick and yet they're going forward for the Lord. Older one, God wants a friend. He wants us to be a friend that can go forward. But I'm going to tell you something. Faith is something that is built. And it's built by us going through the trials and the tests and seeing and feeling and having faith when we don't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Having faith in God that though it seems completely, it just seems completely off the wall. I don't understand it, Lord. It seems, but have faith in God that God said, and I'll go forward. God said, and I'll go forward. Older ones, the Lord wants us to be His friend. He doesn't want to just be a friend to us. You know, too many people want God to just be a friend. Help me in my trouble. Help me in my times. And then I'm offended. When God is working, and really what He's really trying to do is He's trying to prepare you for something out there that you don't know about. Do you know, dear ones, it's good for a man to bear the yoke of the youth. Why? He learns discipline. What did He say in one place? In your patience possess you your souls. Sometimes the Lord takes us through places where we have to manifest some discipline. I remember a time I was in, had gone somewhere to preach, and had driven to Gina, Louisiana. And I have so much trouble with colds that night. I was sick. I felt like I could not lay down. I was just so panicked. I had studied some, but I knew I wasn't ready for the next morning. And I was begging the Lord, Lord, you know I've got this in the morning. I need you to help me. I was pacing the floor. I couldn't lay down. I felt like I'd suffocate if I'd lay down. I was so stopped up, and I was feeling so terrible. And I just like, Lord, please help me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you have need of patience. And He brought to me a sister that had was going through at that time a severe case of cancer. And He says, if you were in that place, you would need patience. I said, okay, Lord, just go ahead. Lord, help me. I went back and I lay down. I said, no, you just help me, Lord. The Lord helped me to lay down there, go to sleep. He woke me up and He finished the message. And He helped me the next morning and I was much better. You have need of patience. Dear one, the Lord loves us.
Amen.
The goodness and severity of God is for our good. He's preparing us for what's ahead. I'm amazed as I look back in my own life at the preparations of God. And we buck, that God's preparing us. Oh, Lord, just help me to get it. Help us to stand back and say, help me to get it, Lord. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Help me to just get it, Lord. I know you're preparing me with something. I don't know what you have in this. I don't know. Lord, help us not to faint at what He allows in our life. Help us not to despise and be offended at Him. Help us to see the love of God. Help us to see the real friend that we have. He will be there. But He's trying to work for our good. You can take this in closing for what you will. It was a dream. Right after Mama died. I had a dream, and in that dream, Mama come to me, and she says, Karen, would you come over here with me, and I want you to write these things down. And I started writing, and she says, I want you to start thanking the Lord for all of these things. I want you, so much like my mama, I want you to start thanking the Lord for all these things. When I woke up, I only remembered three of them, but I had several on that list. I had no memory whatsoever. Yes, I'd love to know what was else on there, but God wouldn't let me know, I guess. But anyway, it was dealing with problems that's going to be in our family. And he said it was things that maybe we wouldn't like. And she said, I want you to start thanking the Lord for all these things. On the top of the list is that God took Mama home to heaven. And I don't know what all. Seemed like it might have been around third on the list. It had something about my brother Mark. I thought, when I woke up, why Mark? Kurt's going through all he's going through, and Delmer's going through stuff. Why? Only name I saw on there, I remember from there, was Mark. So I said, why Mark? And I asked my sister about it. I said, is something going on with Mark I don't know about? She said, yeah, he's going to surgery. He's going to go into surgery, and he's got something that, you know, could go bad. When he went into surgery, and he came through, and the doctor said something about it. It's amazing how well he came through. She told him about this. It touched him so much. Well, another thing I remember on the list was trips. And it had different states down there. Afterwards, I kept thinking, was Ohio on there? You know, because, you know, the devil comes along with thoughts, and I'll just be honest with you. I was thinking about Curtis, and I thought, oh, my. Is that family going to have a lot of trips? We're going to have some funerals here lately and all of this. And, you know, and I'm like, what is going to happen here? And there's trips on there. I couldn't get all the names on that trip. I didn't remember that. But after I had my accident, I thought, Lord, you know about this accident, man. Did you know this is going to happen back there? You know, you can take it for what you will. And you can do. God knows how to prepare us.
Amen.
He knows how to work. Lord, help us to remember this when we feel like bucking, when we feel like fainting. He's our friend, and He wants us to be His friend and trust Him and keep on going. You pray for me.
Amen. Amen.